The clock's running out on December deal drops at Lowe's, but there's still time to wrap up something they'll love. Shop great gifts under $50, like the DeWalt Elite Series 100-piece bit set. Plus, if you order by 2 p.m., you get same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop December deal drops while you can. Lowe's. We help, you save.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
From realghoststoriesonline.com, I am Tony Bruschi, and this is Real Ghost Stories Online, part two of our interview today with Vivian Campbell, author of the book Stalked by Spirits. We heard all sorts of crazy tales last week with her, and we got more. This woman has got some stories to tell, and she, of course, details a lot of them in her book. We talked about a lot of them today on part two of our interview with her. Do check out her book. She has actually two of them out now, and she's working on some future ones. You can get it on Amazon, all major bookstores as well. I have a copy of the book, and of course we'll put a link up on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Before we get into part two of our interview, let's remind you to subscribe. Press the subscribe button right there. That will make sure that you get all future episodes of the show delivered directly to you. You don't want to miss out on that. And please do share the show. Share it on social media. Share a link to our YouTube page or our website, Real Ghost Stories Online. And then email me a screenshot of where you shared it. You just email Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And I will reply back to you with a link to a bonus episode of our show just for you as a big thank you for sharing the love. That's what helps us get more followers. That's what helps us grow our show every single week. And we thank you dearly for doing that. So let's now go back to part two of our interview with Vivian Campbell, author of the book Stalked by Spirits. And let's talk a little bit about traveling ghosts. This is something you brought up briefly in last week's episode about ghosts that you had in your home that just seemed to kind of come and kind of go, almost like you were a days in, for ghosts. Can ghosts do that? That's the bigger question, because I'm thinking if you have to wait till you're a ghost to go out and see America, travel the country. Okay, I could deal with that if you can travel around and see the world or see the country. Is that something that you think ghosts do?
I don't know. I just know that on the first landing of my stairway was the vortex. And everybody knew it. You could feel things come in and out there. It looked kind of spooky, but we always said that was the vortex. Mm-hmm. And some of my ghosts used to bring dates to our Christmas party. That's all I can say. We had this one little old man show up for my kids who were having a Halloween party. It was during the dates when they were small. And they had their candy out and their costumes. And this man, this little old man appeared. He was smoking a pipe and he was sitting on my couch. And I and two of the other moms who were spirit sensitive also saw him, so I'm not crazy. And he sat there watching the kids with this benevolent smile, just watching them, you know, mm-hmm. eat their candy. We thought, well, whatever. Well, he disappeared. I thought, okay, he's one of our traveling ghosts. Then he popped up again. We had a Christmas party. Well, he popped in for the Christmas party, and he brought a date because there were about three new ghosts there. I don't know who they were. I just ignored them because we had a room full of people. Most of these people were not aware that we had ghosts.
I was just going to ask you.
I thought they were the wallflowers. They all stayed by the side of the wall with these wallflowers watching us.
So when you're seeing these things and these people that are there, is this something that everyone is able to see, or just folks who are sensitive to them that are able to see them in that sort of a detail?
You know, I think people can sense ghosts more than they realize. They just don't understand what they're sensing. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't write it off as being some sort of a magical, mystical thing. I can't do math. Other people can. You know, they have the gift, okay?
Okay.
I happen to be able to sense ghosts.
Sure.
So that's about the way I see it.
Okay.
So some people will sense them, and when they can, they'll let me know. That's why I never would tell anyone that the house was haunted. Mm-hmm. Another one of my favorite stories. I was up in North Carolina for a couple of weeks helping a friend move, and my older daughter came back from camp, and she was at the house. So I had a friend of mine who had an adult daughter stay at her house, you know, just to stay with them until I got back. Well, this girl who stayed with them was about 22, 23. She had heard the house was haunted. I'd known them for 4 or 5 years. I guess she didn't take it seriously because in the middle of the night, 11 o'clock, she texted me. She said, "Do you know that you have ghosts?" Oh, my God. So I texted her back. I said, "Did you turn the lights off?" And she said, "Well, yeah." She said, "Oh, my gosh, there's like this woman, high-heeled shoes are walking up and down the hallway and up and down the stairs. And I looked in your mirror, and there's like this woman looking in the mirror." I said, "Turn on the TV. Turn on the lights. Leave them on, otherwise you're going to have the ghost." And it was one of my funniest things. So again, this girl didn't even realize that she was spirit sensitive. But boy, she sure knew it after she stayed in my house. And after that, she used to come take me ghost hunts we would have in my house. And she had this little app on her phone that could had beeps if there were ghosts. You know, she'd walk around looking for the ghost bleeps.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just hilarious.
I'm not allowed to use that anymore.
No.
I have that, and my wife says, "Nope, that creeps me out too much," because it will literally give you words sometimes. And
she had the whole thing.
Yeah, and sometimes
it
it's creepy
because
it'll be like fairly on to what the conversation may be or what's going on, and it's like, well, how does it know that? What is going on here?
I think they're pretty funny because I usually know when the ghosts are around.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I'll just look and I go, yep, that looks about right. And there was one time we were standing in my dining room, which was one of the more haunted rooms. The whole house was haunted, but they like to congregate there. And I remember we had about 8 different bleeps come up.
Mm-hmm.
She was freaking out. "Oh, my God, they're all around us." I'm like, "Yeah, they're always around. You know, they're just the eavesdrop." They're annoying.
Do you think there are more children out there that have become ghosts than adults, or is that more prevalent out there than the adult ghost? Because that seems to be the ones that I'm hearing more accounts of than anything.
I've encountered quite a few children in different places I've gone, but I wouldn't say more than adult ghosts.
No? Okay.
I would say I probably pick up more adult ghosts. The little girl that was in our house was just absolutely one of my favorites, and I guess it's because I'm a kid person.
Mm-hmm.
I love children. I teach. I'm a parent to all my kids, you know, friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really, I'm very maternal, and I just loved her. There was one time, I remember, where my older daughter was about 3 or 4 or so, and I was heating up some chicken nuggets for her
mm-hmm.
that she liked. So I heated up chicken nuggets, put them on a plate to cool, walked out of the room for just a second to see my daughter, walked back in, and those chicken nuggets were gone. And I laughed. I said, "Oh, my gosh." And I knew it was her. I could tell it was that little girl. She used to follow me around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's another funny story. So I love the little girl ghost.
Yeah.
we had plumbing problems one time. I had to call a plumber. So what the little girl ghost liked to do, she liked to open the door, front door for me a lot when I would come up the front walk, and I would have arms full of groceries. And it started when one time I was walking up the front walk. I said, "Oh, God, I wish somebody would open the door for me." And the door click opened by itself. I was like, "Oh, okay, thank you." So I'd always thank her. Freaked my ex-husband out quite a bit, but I just used to say, "Well, did you thank her? Just say thank you."
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this plumber came to the door, poor innocent plumber, knocked on my door. Now, I'm walking down the stairs, and if you walk down my interior stairs, you can stare directly in front of the front door. So I'm walking down. I can see the man's face through the little hole in the front door, right? The window. So he's standing there. I'm walking down the stairs. I see the the doorknob starts to turn by itself. I went, oh, my God, and I yell, no, and I go jumping down the stairs. I think I took two leaps down that stairs, slid into the door as it was opening by itself, grabbed the door, opened the rest of the way, and I'm trying to smile at this man. Hi, hi, I'm so glad you're here. This man is staring, pale-faced. He goes, the door, it opened by itself, and I go, oh, yeah, that happened sometime. Okay, well, come in here. I'll show you where the new bathroom is.
No big deal. It's a ghost. It's our resident.
And as I walked by, you could feel the little girl walking behind me. I was like, oh, please.
Talking about the darkness, and you had said, turn on the light, turn on the TV, and they won't bother you, and they won't come out. Why is it that you think the darkness, for whatever reason, why do they come out in the darkness versus the light? That's always been puzzling to me.
I don't know that they come out in the darkness, but it seems to intensify things. When I do walk through houses to investigate for people, I don't care. In fact, I like the lights on, not because I'm scared of the ghosts, but because I'm a klutz. And if I don't know where things are in the house, sure. I'm going to bump into them.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, I have a very vivid imagination. And if everything's dark, I don't know what it is. It's going to escalate in my head. If the lights are on, I can see what there is there. I'm going to get the impression anyway of what's there, but it helps me keep my head because it actually took me a couple of years to learn how to be calm when I did this and not freak out.
Okay.
So I don't know what it is, but something about not only darkness, but I found that spirits like it when it's quiet. Mm-hmm. When I investigate places, I always tell people, I don't care what time of day it is, but you've got to be quiet, and it's better if you just leave me alone or one person comes with me. It's usually like a quiet corner or something that they'll just stay on. I found that a lot, but boy, in my house, there's some places where you just turn off the lights and it fuels them. I have no idea why.
Do you, I'm wondering, because you are sensitive to these things, and for example, when you saw the man at your Christmas party, and there's obviously been other times where you've seen these entities, and this sounds almost like they were clear as day, they were just there. How often is it, do you think, that you're out there in public that maybe there are entities around you that you're seeing that maybe other folks are not seeing? Almost like that the old movie The Sixth Sense, where you go through the the motions and, you think this person's really there. Is that a possibility, or is it very distinct and obvious when the entity is, in fact, an entity and not just another human being?
I actually have not seen that many with my eyes. Now, I said I would see the little girl quite a bit with my eyes.
Okay.
There was a female ghost in my house I saw with my eyes.
Okay.
The demonic spirit I saw with my eyes. I have seen, we had quite a few shadow people in there.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, what I will get is a very distinct impression in my head. And the best way I can describe it, it's like if you remember someone, they're not with you, but you remember what they look like in your head, right? Mm-hmm. You can imagine them. Yep, that's exactly the person. You don't forget them. It's the same thing. You get that picture in your head. And I've learned to trust whatever impression it is that comes in my head. I laugh and I tell people, hey, if I see a purple dragon, I'll tell you I see a purple dragon, and you can figure it out. But that's about how far I've learned to take it, because I've done investigations before where I walk through a house, I saw these crazy things, and I finally came to the people. I said, okay, I'm going to tell you what I see, and you just can figure it out, because I don't want to know anything about a place before I walk through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to say, there's this funny place by the fireplace on the wall. I said, it's not in the fireplace. It's just kind of up here, kind of on the side of the wall by the fireplace. It feels real negative. And the lady who owned the house said, oh, my God, that's where they kept the axe. And I looked at her, and I was like, what? And she said, what else did you see? And I said, okay, I'm just going to put this out here. I said, you have a clawfoot bathtub in a bathroom in the far back of your house. There's a young man sitting in there, and he's wearing a brown pinstripe suit, and he's sitting fully clothed in your bathtub, and he's waiting to go to church. And I said, that's all I can tell you. Well, it turned out there was a horrible murder in this house, which I'm hoping to in my next book, and this is true. It was a very bad murder in the 20s in this house, which included a young man hacking the family up with the axe, and he was crazy. After he hacked the family up with the axe, it was a Saturday night, he put on his brown suit and sat in the bathtub waiting for someone to come bring him to church the next day, and that's absolutely the truth. So that's as far as I can say. When I see things, I get impressions of things, I just say it like it is. Now, if these other things are walking around, I suppose they are. Some things I pick up, some things I don't. But I don't think every single inch of everywhere we walk is haunted or has spirits. No. I think they're always around, but maybe just some want to be noticed more. Maybe that's the way to put it.
Here's an interesting question about that and where there are spirits, where you are picking that up. It seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong with this assumption, but at least most of the stories that we get are of spirits that probably lived sometime in the last 150 years, give or take a little bit. It's very rare from, or maybe even a little bit further back. Sometimes you get into, you know, pre-Civil War and spirits of that age. Maybe it just because of our country, and you know, a lot of it wasn't settled, you know, previous to a certain amount of time.
Possibly.
But it seems even in other countries where you hear ghost stories, the ghosts seem to not be all that extremely old. And with the age of the planet and with the age of where people would have been, wouldn't you assume that there'd be more ghosts out there that are from much further back than just, say, the last 200 years?
I believe they are, but that's an interesting question. I have never had the privilege, and I want to go there sometime, mm-hmm. to go to places like England, Stonehenge, Machu Picchu, places like this, that are supposed to be very energetically charged, and just see what you feel there. Because, again, I agree with you. Our country is very young.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have Native Americans here.
Mm-hmm.
I've been over at New Smyrna Beach, which is over by Daytona. They have old sugar mill ruins there that are very, very haunted by Native Americans. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's shadow figures that crawl around the ruins. I haven't seen those. But I've walked around the woods that surround it. It's very thick woods. And you can very definitely feel the presence of Native Americans. Now, the Second Seminole War was in the 1800s, and that's when this place happened to be burned.
Mm-hmm.
Are the spirits I'm feeling for about that time period? I think so, but they could be older.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting question, but I don't know the spirits. I haven't been around places that have been really that old, more than maybe 400 years or so, you know, in St. Augustine. I think that's about the oldest I've been to.
And we've gotten stories from the UK and such, too, and it seems most of the stories where the spirits are around 200 years old at the max. You know, it's mm-hmm. one of those things I've always thought of. Well, why wouldn't there be further back? Or is there an expiration date on being a ghost? Do eventually you move on to the next plane of wherever you're supposed to go? Do you eventually figure it out or move on, whatever the case may be? That's just something that's always kind of troubled me. Something else I wanted to talk about, and you had brought it up too, is the shadow people. This is an interesting topic because there's so many interpretations of what that is. Is it people? Is it, you know, I've heard everything from it's another dimension, and sometimes it's being reflected onto ours. You know, there's so many interpretations. With your experiences, what do you think it is? What do you think they are?
I don't know. I could not tell you. They are blacker than black. I mean, it's like a shadow that stands out from the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
It's very distinctly, the ones I have seen have always been male. We had at least one in my house. That was just that one. I was thinking, we called the negative male ghost, Mr. Grumpy. We called him Mr. Grumpy, but he really wasn't a shadow person. He was a male ghost that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
But this shadow person that we saw, he used to pop out. Oh, let's see, he was in the dining room pretty much. I think I only saw him in the dining room. He would pop out from behind the bookcases. In fact, oh my gosh, okay, I've got a funny story about him. I came downstairs one night, middle of the night, to get a glass of water from the kitchen. Where my kitchen was, looked directly through an alcove into the dining room. And I saw this shadow person, I didn't think what it was right away, standing there staring at me. And the first thing I thought, I do not ever think ghost. I think burglar. I am burglar obsessed.
Sure.
And I saw it. I thought, oh, my God, it's a burglar. And all I could think was, my kids are upstairs. Do I need to get a knife? What do I do? And then suddenly I thought, wait a minute. dog's not barking. The dog would be barking. And I looked, and just as I looked, he darted sideways through the wall, whoop, that fast, like a spider, whoop. Mm-hmm. And he was gone. And I walked in the dining room, didn't turn the light on, didn't need to, looked around, he wasn't there. I never felt scared of this shadow person at all. Yes, it's creepy, but I was never terrified. I never felt it meant anything more than it just watched. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you if whether it was, what it was. I don't know. But he never scared me. He was creepy, and he did just observe a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought he was a burglar.
And that seems to be the case with most of those tales, where they don't seem to really do a whole lot, for lack of a better term, other than they're observed, you know, by people, or they're observing people. It's not that they're moving things. It's not that they're necessarily, you know, have some sort of negative or positive energy. It's just they're kind of there.
Exactly.
And that's what's so interesting about it. You said that you had heard stories of an area where it was very heavily populated by Indians, and that people witness shadow people there. What do you know about that?
All I've heard is from the park ranger. Mm-hmm. If you can Google it on the internet, it's the Sugar Mill Ruins at New Smyrna Beach.
Okay.
And they're very beautiful. They still have the big old pots, you know, where they boil the sugar cane and everything. And what the park ranger told me is that he sees shadow people crawling up the walls of these old ruins. There's no ceiling on them anymore. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen them. I got no sense of it. I said I sensed the Native Americans in the forest. Mm-hmm. That's what I sensed. But that's all he told me. He just said he sees shadow people run up the walls, and he didn't want to say much more about it. And
sure. It's not necessarily going to be in the next National Parks brochure. Come see the beautiful ruins and the shadow people who crawl up the walls.
Right.
While you're here, try the bisque. You
know? We have picnics by there. Yeah. It's a nice place.
Exactly. Bring the kids. It's fun. Have a picnic.
We're used to it. My kids grew up eating with the ghosts, so they don't care.
So do your kids, are they sensitive as well? Did they see some of the things that you've seen?
Absolutely. Yeah, my younger daughter is very, very sensitive. My older daughter pretends that she's not, but she is. Mm-hmm. We had some funny times where, again, it was when I was in North Carolina for a little while, and my older daughter was 18 at the time, so she was actually staying at the house. I think she was there for a day or two alone, which was very cool because it was the first time she was really alone, you know, taking care of things, big girl. So she would actually go in my bedroom, and she would sweep my bedroom and tidy it up because she's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And she would be in there, and she'd look, and there was a pile of pennies on my dresser. And she thought, So she took the pile of pennies. She'd come in the next day. She'd sweep. There was another pile of pennies for her. She'd call me. She goes, Mom, the ghost thinks I'm the maid. It's leaving me a tip. I said, take the money. She said, I am. I say, thank you, and I take the money.
I wonder if the ghost is really, you know, into a cleanly home. You know, I mean, maybe they were like that in life. It makes you wonder, how many traits do you take on with you to the other side that you had in life? Is it just like you, except, you know, you just don't have the physical body to do much, you know?
I could just tell you that Miss Delaporte, who was the matriarch of the house, or she thought it was, mm-hmm. until I came along, she's of the house. And I guarantee you, she was one of our mainstay ghosts there for so long, and she disappeared. I guess she moved on. I really actually missed her. But I'll tell you what, she was a character. She was never scary, but she thought she owned the house, and she thought I was the maid, and she did not know what I was doing. I used to throw tea parties because I love having tea parties. I had my great-grandmother's china, and I get it out, and we just do it. She used to appear at these tea parties totally confused, sure that she must be the hostess. She's the hostess. She can't remember inviting any of these people. She doesn't know who they are. She used to sit on the sofa and look very prim and proper all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She'd get mad at me because I would sit at the head of the table and she should be there. And we had one time where she got, because she got very angry at me. When I would set the table for these tea parties, I would literally be up until 1 or 2 in the morning, because this is a very intricate task. Anyone that's been to a tea room knows it just has to be just right.
Uh-huh.
So I would get out my great-grandmother's 1920 book about, it was etiquette and how to set the tea party, and it actually told what some of these weird old utensils and things were that I had inherited. So I would have this book out. This book was my little tea Bible, and I would have it out, and, you know, where I put everything. Well, Miss Delaporte appeared one night. She wanted me to go to bed, and she was in the corner just glaring at me. And I just ignored her. Again, it was in the dining room. I love the dining room. And so I was sitting at the table. I turn around, and my book has disappeared. And it was right there on the table. Mm-hmm. And it disappeared. And I got so angry, and I said, give me my book back. Nothing. She disappears. She's not there. I said, give me my book. I finally said, okay, fine. I'm not going to go to bed. It's going to make me stay later now because I don't have the book, okay? So I stayed up, got the rest of the table done, did the party. The next day, one of my friends, Dave Lapham, who's also an author, and he's written wonderful stories, Ghosts of St. Augustine, he came over. I've done a few books with him. He came over to see me, and I was telling him about Miss Delaporte taking my book. Mm-hmm. And so he was leaving the house, and he told me this later. He turned around, and he looked at the house, and he said, Miss Delaporte, you know, me and my wife live alone now. Our kids are grown. Maybe this house is too much for you. Maybe it's too many dogs and kids and animals running around. You know, if you do, just give Joanne back the book. You can come live with us if you want to. Well, that night, my book reappeared. And I called Dave. I said, my book's back. It's in the bookshelf exactly where it should be. And he started laughing, and he told me what he had done. And I don't
And did she leave then? Was she over? Did he steal your ghost?
I don't know what happened to her. She hung around for a while.
He invited her to his place. She moved.
Well, she never did go to his house.
Oh, okay.
I went to his house, and where'd she go? I have no idea. And again, maybe she moved on, but if she did, nobody made her. But she always thought that was her house.
Yeah.
And she was so confused. I mean, I would find her when my kids were babies. I would find her bending over their crib, looking at them a lot of time. At night, and I'd say, you know what, I understand you don't mean them any harm, but you're scaring them, and you're scaring me, mm-hmm. and you're kind of creepy, so you're a mom, I'm a mom, you were probably a grandmother, why don't you stay downstairs during the night, and we'll stay upstairs, and neither of us will bother each other. And she seemed to think that was pretty good. That's why she would be a little angry when I would be downstairs late at night, because if I was past my curfew downstairs, she'd let me know.
Because that was her place to be. And
yep. She was abiding by the rule, and I didn't have the right to be down there, but I broke the rule. I didn't care.
That's really interesting. And there's a lot more stories, I'm sure, in your book, Stalked by Spirits. Vivian Campbell, thank you so much for talking with us. We're going to have you on again in the future for some more of your stories.
I would love to be on. I would absolutely adore it.
Be sure to check out Vivian's book, Stalked by Spirits. You can get it through Amazon.com. Of course, Barnes & Noble, major bookstores carry it as well. Vivian Campbell, C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L is how you spell her last name. Look it up. Check out that book. It is very, very good. Thank you so much again, Vivian, for being on the show. You out there, please be sure to subscribe to the show. Press the subscribe button on YouTube, and you will not miss any future episodes. And like I said earlier, share the love. Let your friends know about the show. You simply take a little link, you share it on Facebook or Twitter, and your friends will know about us. And then send me a screenshot of where you shared it, and I will send you a bonus episode as a thank you just for you folks who shared the show. You email that to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, and I will send you that bonus episode link. Until next time, from realghoststoriesonline.com, I am Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.